We're back here on Wildcat Insider. Coming up, Alex Barnes. Next segment, let you hear what he had to say from earlier in spring football preparation. We have the spring game coming up on Saturday. But I want to touch on basketball for just a bit here before we get into some more spring football questions. We'll talk a little defense and what's happening with the linebackers. But for now, this drew a lot of attention, I think, on social media. And I just want to take a little bit of time to, I think, clear up what some of the comments were here from President Richard Myers, who was discussing the future of Bruce Weber. It was just a breakout session after the press conference today and was just asked a question about Bruce Weber. And first things first, I got some of the audio here. I was actually leaving to go do the interview with Gene Taylor, and so I missed the part that really I think is what set the world on fire as far as Twitter is concerned. But here at least was the first part of what Richard Myers had to say about Bruce Weber when he was asked if the decision was both he and Laird Veach's as far as Bruce coming back for this year. This is what Richard Myers had to say as far as it being his decision along with Laird's.
John Curry and I started having conversations in the season, and then Laird and I, and then after the last game, we got together one more time and said, how do we want to, what do we think? And we both were of like mind, so we're happy. We're happy Bruce is back. Coach Weber's back. He's got, we'll see, but it's we're confident, actually.
So there was that, and then right after that, he was asked the question, and I've got the exact transcript up here in front of me. Have you talked contract extension at all with him yet? Just to insert a fact here, Bruce Weber's deal has 2 years left on it. The answer was, I think we will. I don't think we have yet. I think that's in the works. That'll land on Gene's desk here. He starts on May 1st, I believe. That'll land on his desk pretty darn quick. To me, that just says, hey, look, it's going to be the new athletic director's decision. I just hired a guy. That's his job. It's his domain. That's what's going to happen.
And that's the part that wasn't so much on social media.
Yes. At least initially.
Yes.
Initially.
Yes. Yeah. So I think if you put two and two together to get to four, I think, you know, you take what he said as there have been discussions. Nothing has been finalized. This will eventually end up on the desk of the athletic director that we introduced today. And there you go.
And if people are surprised, I mean, if people are surprised that there are discussions happening here, look, the way these contracts work, nobody ever just works through the end of a contract. There's almost always an extension there because you got to go recruit kids under the premise, hopefully, that, you know, you're going to be there for their career. And if you only have 2 years, 1 year left on your deal, that can become a tougher sell. So a lot of times at this point in time is when an extension will be discussed. And just because it's an extension does not mean that it has to be a giant raise or giant raise in the buyout, a ton of years. It's still, you can still get out of it if you decide later on down the line it's not working. It does not have to be, you know, some kind of big thing. I think that's some of the problem here as well. Not only that, look, Gene Taylor, I'm sure, knows very little about the situation with basketball and needs to go figure that out for his own to make that decision. But also, even if there is a contract extension, I think you need to actually look through and see what's going to be there. You can do more of a window dressing type of contract extension than one that is much more substance-based. So I would just put that out there about this because people got very up in arms as soon as this hit the internet earlier today.
Well, and I guess I'll, not a lot to add other than maybe to say this. Over the last roughly 90 minutes that we have been talking about all things K-State athletics today, including the hiring of Gene Taylor, I think one of the things that most everybody heard, saw, whatever today, this is a pretty logical individual.
Yeah.
And I believe he will take his time and we'll get input from a lot of different sources here and maybe elsewhere, and then there will be a decision coming based off of that. Agree?
Agree.
Yeah.
And look, this guy, another thing I will say too while I'm thinking about it, he came from North Dakota State where they just dominated their league. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're talking about football, they dominated the entire, you know, the entire FCS. They won five straight national championships. Like, the guy came from a background where they were winning at virtually every level there. I don't think he's going to be sad. You know, if he feels like the job's not getting done the way that it's getting done, I don't think he's going to be one to balk at making a decision here. So I would just levy that out there as well for Gene Taylor.
Well, and I think that's true in all sports, not just one.
Yeah, sure.
You know, he gave every indication today that one of the things that he liked about this situation was in visiting with the committee, and that is that he got the sense that K-State people are excited about where they're at, and yet in the same breath believe they can be better and are capable of being better. And I think he very much appreciated that and hopes to make that happen at some point.
Well, there's that out of the way. I think spring football, a little more fun to talk about.
Yeah, but, there you go.
Defense is where I think we need to zero in on. We talked some offense here, but I have been very impressed by what we have heard, not only from Sean Snyder, but some of the players, and that maybe speaks, you know, almost more volumes about what Daquan Patton has been able to do at linebacker. People are excited about him. There is a big hole in the linebacking core, losing all three of the guys that were playing the most last year. Shamaiquil Moore, Elijah Lee, Will Davis, they're gone. Now, I don't know if Daquan Patton is going to be a guy that's going to start from day one or anything here, but he has been here in spring. Not only is impressed with his athleticism, which I think we expected, but it sounds like he's caught on fairly quick, at least relatively, as far as newcomers go.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Very, very gifted player in terms of the ability to hit and run and all of those kind of things. But yet also, I think you're accurate in saying, I think he's done a really pretty good job to this point getting himself acclimated. I think Bill Snyder would probably be the first to say he's not anywhere near where he needs to be yet in terms of understanding the system, but has made a lot of progress in the time that he's been here. It's so valuable for him to be here right now and in the spring. It's such an advantage. And I think you will see Saturday that this is a pretty gifted football player. And you know, we saw Byron Pringle last year. I like to use him as an example because the expectation level for him was so high. And in the beginning, you know, you saw just a tiny flash here and there in those first few games. And then you flash forward and think about what he was like, you know, in late November into December into bowl time. He was a different guy, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe this guy will be a little bit quicker at it. You just don't know that. But make no mistake, he's certainly talented enough, athletic enough to play here. I also have to say this, too. I think you're blessed when you have young guys that are very bright and know the system as well as a Trent Tanking and a Sam Sizelove to lead the way for guys like Daquan Patton and guys like Justin Hughes and Elijah Sullivan and those types of guys who are starting to make their way a little bit.
Yeah, I think you feel really good, actually, about the depth that is there. And I think we knew that Trent Tanking had a chance to be successful just watching him play against TCU there at the end of the year when he got thrown into the fire. I mean, he looks – I think the question with him, you knew he was going to be a guy that knew the system. They trusted him on special teams. He's been really good on special teams. But the question was – is he athletic enough to be able to handle it? And that is one thing Sean Snyder addressed last Tuesday. He said he's absolutely athletic enough to handle that. And I thought from the little bit we got to see him against TCU, that became fairly apparent.
I also had an opportunity on Saturday to visit briefly with Brooks Barda about Trent and his son Mason, who's now a part of the K-State program. Probably will redshirt this fall, I would guess. Mason I'm talking about. But it was really interesting for me to hear Brooks talk about Trent Tanking and the type of player he was for Brooks, you know, when he was at the high school level and what he is now. And, you know, he does have athletic ability. I don't know, be stretching it to say it's at the level of Daquan Patton.
Sure. Right. I mean, they're comparing him to Arthur Brown.
Yeah, we all understand that. But the moral of this story is simply this. At one point, Coach Barda said to me, he has as good a vision as any linebacker I've ever coached. I thought that was pretty telling. Trent has been a beast on special teams here, and right now is the one guy I heard Sam Sizelove say last week about him. He's never in the wrong place. He knows where to be always. He not only knows where he's supposed to be, but where I'm supposed to be and whoever's supposed to be. Bright kid. Doing a really good job.
It sounds like he is the ringleader of the linebackers.
Yeah.
They all really look to him to be the guy that leads there. Now, the other spots, and it was interesting, I had Stan Weber on within the last week.
Who's
on our
that?
Show.
Just kidding.
Well, it was funny. I asked him, you know, what's your biggest question mark here? And I'm expecting the linebacker answer. But he actually said the secondary.
Really?
Because you're losing Dante Barnett, a guy who was so experienced and had everybody lined up in the right place.
That's it.
You're going to have to replace one safety spot. You're also just going to have Kendall Adams presumably step into some of the leadership role that Dante Barnett filled. And then you're missing your nickelback as well in Donnie Starks, who had been there for a while and was very experienced. So I guess I would ask you, how do you feel like the battles are shaping up at those two spots?
Well, first and foremost, I think Stan has a really great feel for that because Dante Barnett played a large amount of football at Kansas State. We all know that. He was here a long time, had an extra year because of a medical situation. So I don't know if there's anybody that played football defensively at Kansas State last year that knew more about K-State football than him. And the fact that he was making all the calls is a significant loss. I will say, however, though, you know, you look at a guy like Kendall Adams, who's kind of been under the wing of Adante Barnett for a couple of years now, and I think he has taken a step forward in terms of his play, also in terms of his leadership ability. The other spot, you have a very interesting battle there. I think Sean Newland, really, I think he is kind of the Trent Tanking of that spot. Bright, tough, better player than you might perceive him to be, great understanding, has been on the field. And then you have Denzel Goolsby, who is a really, really good athlete, who also has taken a step forward but doesn't yet have the same type of experience. And those two guys are in they're battling. There's no doubt about that. It will be difficult to replace Dante, but those guys, I think, are doing okay. It's kind of like losing Jordan Willis. You don't really replace him. You just move on, right?
Yes.
And I think that's true of Dante from that perspective. Dante was a good football player, no doubt about it. But I think maybe I'm overstating this, but I think his knowledge of what he was doing was maybe even to some degree more valuable than his athletic talent.
I would totally agree with that.
And that's, I think, what Stan was referencing.
Yes, yeah. No doubt. I mean, he had been there for so long.
Yeah.
With Dante Barnett, it was always, you got to think, he came in with Tyler Lockett. Think about how long ago that was.
That's right.
He had been in the program for a very, very long time. You know, mentioning replacing Jordan Willis, I guess part of the reason we don't talk about that as much as maybe you would, losing a guy as talented as he was and as, you know, as many accolades as he had last year, just because we saw Reggie Walker and the flashes of brilliance that he showed throughout last year. We know that Tanner Wood is pretty solid. They've got guys like Kyle Ball waiting in the wings also. It just feels like there's so much depth there that they're going to be okay. Davis Clark, another guy. I mean, there are a lot of defensive ends.
Yeah, Bronson Massey's another young guy that they're grooming. So, that, I mean, there are names and bodies there. None will be as accomplished as Jordan Willis. We understand that. But I think, how do I say this the right way? Had Jordan Willis been a little bit more of an average football player, I think we would have noticed Reggie Walker more last year. Because Jordan was so good, so quality, and such a headline maker, even on a national scale to a certain degree, I think Reggie flew under the radar. He had a brilliant freshman season, right? I believe the ceiling is very, very high for him, and he hasn't touched it yet. Okay, so that, knock on wood, keep him healthy, right? Now you start to look at the other side, and I think it's a really good thing that, you know, Tanner Woods played a lot of football here too. Maybe not as a starter, but he's played inside and he's played outside and he's played left and he's played right. He's, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That is invaluable. Kyle Ball has a chance to be a really, really fine player someday. He's getting bigger. He's getting stronger. He's understanding more. Tough guy. That's the kind of guy you want there. So Jordan Willis level? No. Going to be okay at some point, yes.
Well, we'll get a chance to see a lot of those guys on Saturday, certainly at the spring game. Do you have a guess on how Bill Snyder will answer the same question he gets asked every final press conference before the spring game? Is it going to be ones v. ones, ones v. twos?
Yeah, I think for the most part it'll be ones versus twos. And if you really are into it and really watch, I mean, there's some fluctuation of that. I mean, you'll see occasionally a receiver or, you know, a couple of different people play, you know, purple for a while, white for a while, and that kind of stuff. But I think he appreciates the ones versus the twos. He would probably do a better job of telling you why, but usually it makes it a little more one-sided, and yet flipping that scoreboard's okay in his mind. And I don't – maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see him changing that. It's just not his style.
It seems like every year he teases us a little bit with it that maybe it's going to change, and then you get to Saturday, and it's the same as it always is. He is very calculated in his ways. We've got more Wildcat Insider for you here with you for another 20 minutes or so. When we come back, Alex Barnes talked with a bunch of us throughout one of the spring football press conferences. I thought he was awesome in the way that he gave us some insight into what he's been working on this offseason. But one of the things he did address that I think people will be interested in was the rumors of him potentially transferring this offseason. We're talking about social media, the glory of that. That certainly got out there. He'll address what that was all about when we come back here on Wildcat Insider.